Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains drowning. Bum, bum, bum. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You stand on a rocky beach and look across a large lake. Mountains surround you. It's breathtaking how calm the world is around you, almost like you stepped into a painting. And then you see a cute little otter gliding along the top of the water. It's holding a leaf in its paw and it's munching happily. It suddenly perks up its head. It feels like something in the water. It quickly twists and dives, abandoning the leaf. Bursting up and chomping down on the leaf is a large dragon-like head. Its body dark green, and it has a big red tongue. Killian, what is this creature? He tried to cheat.
It's an ugu.
No, it's not. It's an ogopogo.
It's hard to say three times fast.
Let's try to do it.
Oh my god.
Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Okay, so Killian, as always, first thing is first, we have to thank our dear friends Summer, Neil, and Grayson for suggesting the mysterious Ogopogo. Would you like to say that something?
Thank you. Clap, okay. Clap, clap.
So Killian, what do you know about the Ogopogo?
Can't say it three times fast.
Ogopogo, ogopogo, ogopogo.
I can't.
Try again.
Ogopogo, ogopogo, ogopogo.
That was it? Is that all you know?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. It's Canada's very own lake monster.
That's where one of my aunts live.
Aunt by love, but not blood, but yes. So the Ogopogo comes to us from British Columbia, which is a province in Canada. A province is a territory within a given nation. America has states and Canada has provinces. In British Columbia, there are a ton of mountains. And since British Columbia is so far north on the planet, this region was once covered in ice. And because of that, when the ice melted after the last ice age, we got what are called fjords. Do you know what fjords are?
The things they're like giant giant ice cubes. It's like a thing where like, imagine there's like a humongous ice thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cube. And like the things you see in your cup, and there's like a giant monster like you.
I do love you so very much. You are wrong. You have heard the word fjords in the movie Frozen. Do you remember that?
Nah.
They talk about it quite a few times. Anyway. A fjord is a long, deep, narrow body of water left over from melting glaciers. A glacier is a big ice cube, basically. So you... right idea, wrong thing. Fjords are often set in a U-shaped valley and with steep walls of rock on either side. So you remember in Frozen 2, when Anna and Olaf... do you remember I'm talking about when she sends them away in the little canoe?
Yeah,
and they're floating through the thing, and they see the big giant rock. Are they trolls? I can't remember. Yeah, trolls.
They're rock trolls.
I guess in the big ones. Remember, yeah. They're sleeping.
Yeah, wait.
But they go through the thing, has the big tall walls.
Pause.
Oh,
if you haven't seen this movie, if you haven't seen this movie, we are very sorry for giving you spoilers.
That's fair. I didn't think about that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, sorry listeners who haven't seen the movie.
It's a great movie. Makes me cry every time.
Yeah, especially on...
Yeah, that's the part I cry. Anyway, so in British Columbia, there is Okanagan Lake. I think I said that right. Okanagan? Yeah. It is the largest of five connected freshwater fjord lakes on the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, named after the First Nations people who first inhabited the area. It stretches for 79 miles and can get as deep as 762 feet. And with that, we are done talking about physical geography.
What is geography?
It's like the study of like formations, land, different things like that. It's what Daddy's minor was in school.
What is minor?
When you go to college, you pick like your major, like the big thing you want to study, and then you pick... Then you pick, like, the small thing you want to study.
Mm-hmm.
And Daddy picked history with a minor in geography.
Mm.
Yeah. Right? Yes. The Ogopogo, or the lake monster, has been mostly described as being a snake-like creature with smooth, dark skin, a large body thicker than a telephone pole, and about 50 feet long. The monster is said to move at incredible speeds, coiling its body and propelling itself like a crazy spring with a powerful tail. The Ogopogo isn't the first time we have covered a lake monster. Do you remember the other lake monsters we have talked about?
Champ, Nessie.
Yep. One more.
And the hoop snake?
No. The great horned serpent, which was the monsters that the Thunderbirds would fight with, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we didn't really...
Yeah, we did. Why else would I say that?
Oh.
So lake monsters are a phenomenon that spread all across the world. It seems like anytime we get a large, still body of water, we get some kind of cryptid. We get kelpies,
I forgot what kelpies were.
I can't get into it right now.
Water horses.
Like in Frozen 2.
Oh my God.
It goes all the way to the top.
We also get things like La Llorona.
Which means the crying woman, I think.
Or the weeping woman? One of the, yeah. Anyway. Whatever. Either way, she's very sad.
Yes.
So where did the Ogopogo come from? Here's a hint. It's kind of similar to the Thunderbirds. Do you know? Reading my paper?
Without reading your paper.
What is it? Who brought us the Ogopogo?
Thunderbirds.
Nope. First Nations people.
Mm-hmm.
The Sekwepemec. I hope I say that right.
Sekwepemec.
And the Silix natives regarded the Ogopogo, which they called the Nataka, as a, quote, evil supernatural entity with great power and ill intent. Again, I will apologize if I've said any of these names incorrectly. I'm trying my best. The word Nataka has various translations such as water demon, water god, or sacred creature of the water. I like that last one.
Yes.
In native lore, Nataka demanded a live sacrifice for safe crossing of the lake. For hundreds of years, First Nations people would sacrifice small animals before entering the water. Oral traditions often describe visiting a chief. Okay, I did say that right. Oral traditions often describe visiting a chief Timbasket who rejected and the required sacrifice, denying the existence of the demon. So what do you think happened to him? He denied that it was real. What do you think happened?
I think he got eaten.
Ooh. Chief Timbasket, upon entering the lake on a canoe with his family, the Nataka, quote, whipped up the surface of the lake with his long tail, and the canoe and its occupants were sucked to the bottom of the lake, never to be seen again.
You were kind of close.
The Nataka was often described as using its tail to create a fierce storm to drown its victims. A settler named John McDougall claimed that his horses were sucked down into the water and nearly his canoe before he cut the line to his forces.
McDougall sounds like old McDonald's.
A little bit. According to Pat Raphael of the West Bank First Nation, a member nation of the larger Okanagan Nation Alliance, the demonic view of the Nataka came about through miscommunication between Canada's early European settlers and the First Nations people. The spirit was said to dwell in caves under Rattlesnake Island, aka Monster Island, or adjacent to Squally Point. Okay, so like I said, we have covered lake monsters in the past, so instead of a story, we are going to give a detailed mini story, or give multiple mini stories, about some of the documented sightings of the Ogopogo. So let's dive in.
We don't have any scuba diving stuff.
I know. Just gonna have to wing it. Didn't. Anyway, like water wing it.
I don't get water.
Okay. We have established that the Ogopogo has First Nations people origin, but the first sighting by a white pioneer came in the year 1872 from Susan Allison. She was the first white settler to immerse herself in the region and not only forged connections with the native peoples, but also saw the large snake-like creature herself. Fast forward to the summer of 1968, when Art Folden, cruising along Highway 97, caught a glimpse of a strange presence in the waters. Confused, he pulled over and took out his home movie camera to capture a sighting that would fuel speculation for years. Computer investigations in 2005 would debunk the idea that this was a lake monster, and instead was probably a waterfowl, otter, or beaver just playing in the water. The 1980s brought about an era of fascination and reward-seeking, as a local tourism agency dangled cash incentives for a proven Ogopogo sighting. Greenpeace, an environmental preservation agency, insisted on filming rather than capturing the creature, which is fair, listing the Ogopogo as an endangered species. Tourists gathered on the shores of Kelowna in 1980, witnessing the alleged creature for a prolonged 45 minutes, almost an hour. A Vancouver tourist, Larry Thal's 8mm film, added to the mystery. In the video, something played on the top of the water, bobbing in and out of sight. Its body looked slick and snake-like. But then the skeptics suggested a more mundane explanation. Otters, and not Ogopogo.
Otters.
Otters are great.
They're very cute.
They're very cute, but apparently mean. I don't know if that's true. I've heard from someone that they're a little bit vicious.
But dolphins are very mean.
Dolphins are mean?
Yeah, dolphins are mean.
How did you hear that?
I heard it from Scooby-Doo.
I have swam with dolphins, and they were not very mean to me.
Maybe because you didn't look like Daphne.
Oh, I didn't look like Daphne. Wow.
But you do look like
Burn.
It. You look like it right now.
Oh, yeah, my hair is red right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's get back to what we said. So in 1989, John Kirk was out in his boat and saw a sleek 40-foot-long jet black creature with a lashing double tail. Ooh, that was a tongue twister. Propelling through the water at 25 miles per hour, the creature raced past his boat and dipped down into the water. That does not seem like an otter to me. The same year, in the area near Bear Creek, Ken Champlin embarked on a quest with his father, armed with a video camera. They would capture a slim, serpent-like creature, its length estimated at 15 feet, its tail slapping the water violently. And the story would find its way into magazines, newspapers, and even on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. However,
Unsolved Mysteries?
It's a great show, Killian. It's where they talk about murder, the mysteries that are unsolved. Sometimes there are disappearances of people. Sometimes they are murders, so we maybe need to watch with extreme caution. But sometimes
extreme caution.
Extreme caution.
Oh, I thought you said streamer. Like,
No.
Why would there be YouTubers?
And but they also talk about like things like cryptids or things like that too. It was an old show, and then they remade it not that long ago. However, biologists, including Robert Lincoln, saw through the sensationalism, attributing the sighting to an overestimated beaver. Local fishing department head Chris Bull suggested the incident might have been a deliberate attention-grabbing stunt. So they're basically saying they could have been lying, and that it could have been a beaver that was small that they were saying was huge.
Yeah, like the Nessie sighting that was actually a toy.
Yes. Jumping to August of 2008, photographer Sean Valoria and his girlfriend, Jessica Wiegers, I'm doing horrible today, and his girlfriend, Jessica Wiegers, found themselves on the Peachland Lakeshore witnessing disturbances that would lead to a series of captivating photographs. The images, examined by local experts and even the show Monster Quest, sparked debates about their authenticity. Another show. I actually don't. Have we ever watched that show?
For a second, I thought it was something that was like Expedition Unknown.
It kind of has the same vibes as Expedition Unknown, but oh, I do remember that. But it Josh Gates is not in it, so it's not as funny. Maybe.
Boo.
I know. We can try watching it though. Chris Bull and biologists offered conflicting views, one leaning towards an unidentified creature and the other suggesting trash and pollution. Another reason to not pollute this earth, because it gets mistaken as cryptids. In 2011, you had nothing to say to that.
Oh my God.
I know. In 2011, a cell phone video captured two dark shapes in the water, initially mistaken for a singular entity. Radford's analysis for Discovery News points towards the mundane, floating logs, a common occurrence on Okanagan Lake, laden with timber industry debris beneath the surface. The legend persisted until September of 2018, with three reported sightings, one depicting a colossal snake-like creature stretching 30 feet in length, continuing the enduring mystery of the Ocopoco. So that's a lot of sightseeing with tons of photos and videos.
Mm-hmm.
There is a case to be made that it is otters that play on top of the water because their fur slicks down and reflects the light, very similar to a snake in the water.
Or you could say water with an O like an otter.
Water. It could also be beavers splashing around in the water. Maybe it's tree trunks from the lumber processing plant. Or maybe it's the legendary Ogopogo. What do you think?
I want to see an otter.
That's all you got from this? Let's look at one of the Ogopogo sighting videos. Ready? Hold on. Let's see what this says.
Are we still recording?
Oh my God. We are recording, but we're going to take a second to watch the Ogopogo.
Get us to
the sighting.
I just saw it move.
That was a bird in the background.
No, that was not. Okay. It was moving in the water.
Okay. Oh, here's the video. Whoa, look at that.
Dang. That actually, that looks like a fox head.
Looks like a dragon head.
Yeah, kind of. Oh my God.
Look at that.
See? Ah, it's kind of like a dragon head.
It does look like a dragon
head. Yeah, like it.
Hold on, let's see another one. Let's look at this one. Oh my God, another long intro. Oh, wait, no. Oh, look.
Oh, I see it. No, it's right there. It's right there.
No, it's these lumps.
Oh.
I think that, well, it could be waves, but also, like, why would a wave do that?
Yeah, it might be like Nessie or something.
What great recording we're getting. Yes. Genuine reaction to the Ogopogo. Look at that. That's a wave. That is very clearly a wave.
Wait. This is kind of...
That's fake.
Yeah, that one too. It was kind of look like skin.
Look at this one.
Oh, they're also,
that's weird.
They're also showing Nessie.
But that is also a fake picture.
I wouldn't say it's fake.
It's very clearly a...
Oh, look at that one. Look at that one.
I think that one's also fake. This is why I tell you, you got to be careful with the internet, Killian. These are very clearly fake.
What about that?
Oh, some people are asking if the Ogopogo is a giant sturgeon. Are very big fish. Like, really big fish.
Bigger than the one that Unc said was a dinosaur?
Yes, bigger than that one.
Oh, they're also showing Nessie.
Yes, but see, these are fake, my love.
Okay.
These are, people can make this stuff on the internet. Like, on like, Photoshop.
I was just about to say Photoshop.
So you just gotta be careful with your beliefs. When you look at things, like, that is very clearly fake.
Yeah, I pointed that
out.
Yeah,
bring it, I'm saying. Okay, back to what we were doing.
It looked like a cartoon.
Now that you have seen footage of the Ogopogo.
Well,
what do you think?
I would say that I think the Ogopogo is not real. because I just saw a bunch of scammed pictures.
But we saw some that were real footage.
Yeah, so
how do you explain the real footage, Killian?
I actually think he's a real.
Oh, we've changed our mind already.
What? Remember when you said there was two black wavy things?
Yes.
I was thinking it was like Nessie, and they're like,
wow. Oh, they were kissing.
Yes.
You think that Nessie and the Ogopogo meet up sometimes and have kissings?
Yeah.
I don't think that there's a physical way for Nessie to get from Loch Ness to Canada. I don't believe there's a way. I'm not a geography major or minor, so I don't know. But maybe. Daddy is shaking his head, so that makes me think that there is no physical way for them to connect,
maybe,
unfortunately.
Maybe the aliens in my book can teleport Nessie to Canada.
Now, alien teleportation, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, we'll do that later.
Unless, Killian, stick with me. There's secret underwater, secretly all the water in the world is connected through like underground tunnels.
So
what if?
So there's like a hole that goes like
I'm not saying that that is real. I'm saying, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, like
that would be the only way that I think Nessie, the Ogopogo, and Champy could all meet each other, which I feel like would be a great time.
Where's Champy?
Champy's in Lake Champlain.
On the other half of North America.
Yeah,
Ogopogo's on the west coast. Champy's kind of on the east coast.
And Loch Ness is all the way in Scotland. All right, so that is the Ogopogo. Thank you again to our friends Summer, Neil, and Grayson for suggesting the mysterious Ogopogo.
Until next time.
Well, I was asking if you want... Well, hold on. I was asking if you want to thank them one last time.
Thank you.
Did you like the Ogopogo?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. I didn't know any... I've heard the name Ogopogo, but I wasn't so sure what it was, but now we know.
Yep.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog. Until next time, remember...
The Cryptids are watching.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam.
Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beemesterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beemesterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grownups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.